Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @RightStream and #RightStream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
Co-host for this second episode of our new show. Daria DiGiovanni and Kristen Fetterman are also here with me. So everyone say hello.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
So this is our second show, and we have a great show scheduled about, basically we're going to be talking about how stressful the holidays can be and how they can be more stressful because we're kind of forced to put up with individuals maybe that aren't so easy to put up with. I think I'm becoming one of those individuals, actually. So, yeah, Kristen, my wonderful daughter, is agreeing. Yeah, it's been a stressful few weeks for me, so I'm becoming one of those negative people. How did that happen? But anyway, Daria, what's going on with you in your world right now?
Well, hey, Lisa. Well, as usual, I'm stressed out too. Not stressed, but just crazy, you know, busy. And I'm really thankful. I got an unexpected project this week, which came at exactly the right time. And I should probably discuss that on Just Believe with you, because there's a very spiritual aspect to it. But seemingly out of the blue, this project came along at just the time when I needed it. I'm almost done. It was kind of like a quick turnaround thing. So that happened for me this week. And also this past week on my other show, Right Stream Tuesday, I did a recap of my favorite books and authors of 2013. You know, since you and I started this network back in March, I decided I'd do like a little recap of all my favorite books. And they spanned a variety of genres, from kids' books to your book, Just Believe, in spirituality.
I did hear that. It was a great show, and I appreciate all the lovely things you said about my book.
Well, all very true. And I just thought, you know, if anybody's like me, and we talked about this last week, you know, I said last week, I think I miss the female shopping gene. Even though I love clothes, I love accessories, I love having things, I just don't like going out and shopping for them. So I just figured if anybody else was like me and they just wanted to do their shopping online, what a great way to promote really all these wonderfully talented authors that I've encountered this year and give people the opportunity to just click a button and have things delivered to their door. Because, Lisa, I have to tell you, I've been promoting authors for a couple of years now, I mean, this year starting on the radio, but, you know, there's so much unsung talent out there, and I'm a self-published author myself, and I feel very strongly about when you read somebody's book and you find it to be excellent, and especially if they're a good person and you get to know them, I want to do everything I can to promote them. So if anyone's looking for gifts for the readers on their list, please go to the archives of WriteStream and check out WriteStream Tuesday from this past week.
Absolutely. It was a great show, and you really covered so many different genres and so many different books. I was impressed. I listened to the whole show, of course, waiting for you to get to me. But Bottom line, I listened to the whole show, and it was really good. I mean, I even wrote some great titles down that I mean, I know most about what you're working on, but there were a couple that I didn't even know about that you highlighted. So that was really cool.
That was great.
A cool show. Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. Keek, anything going on in your life?
I went Christmas shopping today. That was a blast. I'm probably going to not do that again. I'm going to just do that online.
Yeah.
But, especially in the rain, it was just no fun.
Yeah, it's been rainy. We're in eastern Pennsylvania, and it's been really, really rainy and pretty lousy today. Kind of cold and miserable.
And kind of depressing.
Yeah, actually. A little depressing. It is. Yeah. It has been a little depressing. I had all the, I just have all the blinds open, trying to let every little ounce of sunshine in today, but
there is no sunshine.
There's just nothing there, yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, so,
that's a bummer.
And you're taking your finals next week, right?
Oh, don't remind me.
Don't remind
me. I should be studying right now.
You have all weekend. She has finals next week, and then she's off until January, so that'll be fun.
Woohoo, Kristen. Awesome.
Yeah, I'm just kind of a stress ball right now with Christmas and finals. It's just a little much.
Yeah, I remember
those days.
Yeah, not fun. Not easy time to get through. And really, for me, I've been writing down ideas for my next book, and I keep going back and forth. I've got this fictional book that I want to write, and then I've got this I want to kind of write like another follow-up to the spiritual book I wrote, Just Believe. So I'm doing that. And I'm, of course, booking guests all the time for Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, and then my show on Sundays at 7, Just Believe. So everybody, to learn more about everything that we've got going on in our lives, you can go to WriteStreamRadio.com and find out about all of our shows and all of our hosts and how you can follow us through Twitter or Facebook and our personal our websites, you know, our websites for each one of us. So you can start following what we've all got going on in our separate lives away from Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. But as a reminder, Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss is a show that we premiered last Friday, and it's been a huge hit so far, which I'm very honored and proud to say. Very proud to say. We're covering a lot, anything basically that has to do with women's issues. We're using the tag, you know, grab a glass of wine or a cup of tea and come spend Friday night talking with the girls, you know, about stuff going on that's happening in all our lives. We're covering things like love and relationships and fashion and makeup and skincare and health and wellness and just anything that women are interested in talking about. So we're going to be doing that every Friday night, you can find our find out more about the show on the rightstreamradio.com website, but you can also like our page on Facebook. Do we have a page on Twitter? No, we just have a hashtag on Twitter, right?
We have an account at Rightstream, so you can follow us at Rightstream, and then you can also follow what's going on with all of us using hashtag Rightstream, and of course that's WRITE stream. And Lisa, I just want to do a real quick shout out to our other hosts. We have Military Monday with John D. Gresham, and again you can find all this at rightstreamradio.com. But John hosts the program every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, and on Wednesday nights we have Family Power Hour, which really focuses mostly on family issues, raising kids, difficulties, you know, cyberbullying, things of that nature, with Dr. Billy Eisenberg and attorney Sheena Benjamin Wise, and that's every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on the network. So we're getting a full schedule here, which is great.
Yeah, I know. We've got 5 shows now, one show a day, and we're gonna hopefully in the first quarter of next year, fill up those other 2 slots with some other shows. So we're getting nice and busy. And I always just like to say, anybody who's interested in, as our numbers are going up and as the attention is being drawn to the Rightstream Radio Network, I definitely want to give people my email address if you're interested in being on any of our shows, any of our 5 shows, as a guest. If you're interested in advertising with us or becoming a sponsor, you can contact me, Lisa Tarvis, and you can reach me at my email address, which is lisa@lisatarvis.com, lisatarves.com. My website is lisatarvis.com, so you can contact me through that. And there's also a way to contact us through the rightstreamradio.com account. Directly too. So, you know, we're growing and we're starting to throw commercials in there and stuff. If you want to have a commercial, if you have a something already made, or if you want to work on something, or you want to advertise on our website, get I'm the girl to talk to. So, let me know and I will make that happen. You can choose any of our shows or all of our shows to advertise on. So, definitely, that's the path we're getting to. We're getting lots of attention, and we are headed down the road to, I don't know, I'm feeling like Howard Stern, look out, right?
I'm excited, Lisa. I'm getting that feeling myself. Absolutely.
We're going to be the queens of all radio. Or media.
That's right.
What does Howard Stern say? He's the king of all media. Yeah, we're going to be the queens of all media.
How about radio goddesses?
I like that. Radio goddesses. I like that.
So, a lot. Really quick, because I know we have our wonderful guest is waiting to come on the air. But one thing I just want to mention real quick that happened this week that actually relates to our guest on the topic tonight is I was so excited because you know what it's like as a blogger. You know, you put articles out there and you know you put the tags in and you hope that maybe somebody's reading them. You know, and I'm pretty diligent about my blog. And the other day I went into my dashboard and I saw that there was a notification that somebody had linked back to me. And they had linked to my article called The Boundaries of Friendship, which was about, and I think you read that, and it was very interesting that happened this week when we're bringing Marie Dubuque on the show to talk about how to deal with difficult people, because that article was inspired by a longtime friend who is one of the most difficult people in my life. So, but I was pretty excited that another blog actually linked back to it. So I thought that was pretty cool as we move into tonight's show to talk about these kinds of things.
Yeah, I actually read that article. I related with that article in almost every way. I mean, I honestly have had this, have had very similar experiences, and I completely was able to relate with it. It was an excellent, excellent article for your blog.
Thank you. Yeah, so maybe when Marie comes on, I can ask her about, maybe she can have some advice for me about how to deal with this particular person. But I'm looking forward to talking with her tonight.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to actually, let's bring her on. I've got her bio here. Actually, Kristen just stole her bio from me, so maybe Kristen wants to read her on that air. No, she hands it back to me quickly.
Oh, go for it, Kristen. Come on.
Okay. You can Kristen, it's written down, and I have to put glasses on. I'm like, okay.
You're Kristen's young, Kristen. Go ahead.
Just here and here. Okay, so our guest tonight is Marie Dubuque.
Dubuque.
Yeah. Okay.
Relationship expert, life coach, and author Marie Dubuque examines rudeness in the digital age. How do you handle it when someone blocks you on Facebook? What do you say if you've just embarrassed yourself at a cocktail party and the host snubs you? From one blunder to another, Marie deals with every aspect of living amongst loud, obnoxious people glued to their cell phones all day long. Marie talks about surviving and thriving in a society where rudeness has become a way of life, and she firmly believes you can be polite and kind and still get ahead in this world. Marie has been featured guest on radio and television stations across the country. Her articles have appeared more than 100 publications nationwide, and this is one author who is not afraid of the camera. Her popular YouTube channels, YouTube.manner by Marie and youtube.com/MarieDubuque garner thousands of views daily.
And we actually, Kristen and I watched some of the YouTube videos when we first got her information and about getting on the show, about her being on the show. So without any further ado, all of that stuff that Kristen just read, all of that is, like, you know, obvious stuff that you deal with day by day. We're definitely going to be focusing a little bit more on the Christmas side of things, the holiday side of things. But Marie, welcome to Love Liberty and Lip Gloss. I'm so glad you were able to be part of the show tonight.
Oh, hi, you guys. Hey, I just want to say you guys are going to be bigger than Howard Stern. I don't even like him. I like you guys already. Oh, you're off to a great start. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I love the premise of your show, because we need to have a women-only radio show. There's just not enough of them. And I'm dying to read your article, Daria. Can you tell me, like, is this a difficult friend that you just want to drop? Because that's what I get on my YouTube channel. I get comments all the time. Should I drop this person or should I not drop this person? So.
Yes, I've been trying to extricate myself from this relationship for a long time, and it's too much to probably go into fully on the air. But the short answer is yes, and I've sort of tapered off, which is good. But it's been difficult to make a clean break.
I know, I know. You know what? I have a friend like that, and it's like, and she's constantly talking about herself, and you know the kind of people do that all the time, and then I can't get a word in edgewise about anything going on in my life, and that's fine when I don't have a lot going on in my life, and I don't mind, and I'll help her through her latest crisis, whatever. But the problem arises when I do have things going on in my life, and I do have problems, and I just can't really focus on hers because I need some help myself sometimes. So then I kind of put her on the back burner, like, I can't deal with her right now. I'm dealing with my own stuff. And then I'll come back to her because I just feel like I don't want to drop the friendship, but she's not, like, if you have a problem, she will not drop everything. But but I would drop everything for her problems. You see what I mean? So I get that. I get that about the one-sided friendship. And you're like, you just want to get rid of them, but you can't. You're like, oh, I'll just hold on.
Marie, do you find that because of what you do for work too, that you're a life coach and all of the experts that you are, do you find that that people solicit advice from you more? Because with what I do for work, you know, with this psychic guidance and the intuitive guidance side and the psychic readings and the counseling, everybody is, I'm like, I'm always the person that everybody complains to and wants their problems fixed. But when I have a problem, nobody wants to listen.
Yes, I know. Welcome to the club. And I really believe, and I've had this discussion with a lot of people, that people are more narcissistic now than ever before. And I am trying to grapple with why that is, because it didn't used to be like that. People cared about others more. I mean, do you guys feel that way? I mean,
yeah.
Society's like, me.
Yeah.
And it's easier to be rude to people because you're doing it through a text, you're doing it through through an email. You're not facing them or even voice to voicing them. It's easier to be short and rude, you know?
Right. And I was having this conversation with my hairdresser. He's like my therapist. Anyway, so I was talking to him about it, and he feels the same way. It's like people are so, especially kids, and not you, Kristen, but kids now are like so self-entitled. And then I think, so we're like the helicopter parents. You know, we encourage this self-entitledness because we just want the best for our kids, and they're like trophy kids. And in the 80s, that's when all this started because it was the me generation. So we all grew up. We had kids. And then we just self-perpetuated the whole thing. And now it's gotten out of control. It's an epidemic. That's my take on it anyway.
Well, and we talked, I don't know, I've talked about this on my show, or I either talked about it on Just Believe, or we talked about it last week on LLL. I don't remember. But, I know that things have gotten to the point where, you know, we listened to our parents because we feared our parents, and our kids really don't have any fear of us either, you know, which I think makes a big difference too. We don't, you know, we don't use corporal punishment like they did, you know, in our day, you know, so I think everything's just a lot different.
Yeah. Right. And also And I think we're all the end, the kind of the tail end of the kids are seen but not heard era, the very end of that. But now it's like the kids are our lives. I mean, what's the focus of your weekend? You go to soccer game, your kids' soccer games or whatever. And it used to be you would have dinner parties and the kids would throw them in the basement. And now they're like our world instead of sort of on the peripheral of it. That's what I think. And I think there's, and I'm not saying that we need to go back to that, but there needs to be a happy medium.
Well, yeah, I agree, Marie. You know, it's my dad, I mean, I grew up and my dad was a very busy general and vascular surgeon. I mean, he worked all kinds of long hours. And my mom was a great mom, you know, stay at home. My mom was the disciplinarian, the teacher, the chauffeur. She was wonderful. But, you know, I have to laugh when I read stuff today. It's like, you know, parents are expected to be at every single game, every single event. I mean, my poor dad, I mean, he was busy providing for the family. There were times when he just couldn't come to a dance recital or a baseball game, and that was normal for us. When he was home, he was very involved in what was going on. I mean, he was involved in our lives. But, I mean, we understood that. I mean, I just feel like the expectations now are so high that, like, if you're a horrible parent if you're not at every single game or every little event. And I don't know, I think that's crazy. My parents were very involved, don't get me wrong, but especially with my dad, if he had to miss something, we as kids understood. My mom would say, well, you know, your dad, he's saving somebody's life right now. And, you know, my mom was there. But, you know, I mean, now it just seems like there's so much pressure to show up at everything. And also, I just want to get your take on this, too. These parents are insane. Like, if their kids don't play enough, you know, if they're not picked to be on the first string or whatever, they cause a scene. They act like children.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And then everybody has to have a trophy. What does that teach you?
Right.
I know. I was at the hairdresser's. Everything happens at the hairdresser's for me. And I was talking to this lady who was in worked in human resources. She told me that parents would call and say, why didn't my son get a raise? Why didn't Johnny get a raise?
What? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. She told me this, and I believe her. I believe her. And I was like, you know what? This is it. This is we crossed the line, and there's no going back.
Well, I think we're in the culture of extended adolescence.
Yeah.
It's like people don't want to grow up anymore at some point, you know? It seems like to me when I look around.
I agree.
Oh, right, right. And a lot of, and the kids aren't, they're not becoming independent, and they're not learning any skills to be self-sufficient. And I get a lot of comments from employers saying that the kids or young adults come in, and you need to listen to this, Kristen, because you, I don't know, I'm sure you're a great communicator. You're on the radio now. But I don't know, but maybe your friends feel this way, or they do this, but the employers tell me that these young adults come in looking for a job. They have no social skills. They're looking down, and they're so busy tweeting and texting that they have trouble with eye contact, with hearing on a conversation, and that a lot of times these colleges have to teach the communication skills. They have to teach how to speak in public. I mean, stuff that would come, you know, we just would take for granted. These kids have to learn because they don't know it, and it's a problem.
Well, you know, Marie, I used to be a recruiter. Lisa, you'll appreciate this too. I mean, I in a previous corporate life, I was a recruiter for a large national bank, and I could write a book about the people that came in for interviews and the way they were dressed. I mean, these girls would come in, and this is South Florida, you know, so there's definitely a superficial element. But some
right.
of these girls, I'll call young women, I should call them. I mean, you had to be at least 18 to work in the bank. I mean, They were dressed, some of them were dressed like they were going to a nightclub. And I just look at them and think, you know, this is a job interview. You know, what are you doing? Or, you know, or with the tattoos, that's another pet peeve of mine, too. I mean, I personally don't like tattoos, but if you're going to have them, at least make sure you're able to hide them when you go on a job interview and they're not, like, covering your entire body. It's
right.
It's insane.
Right, right. And it's like we took this kind of stuff for granted. But like you said, these kids, they would have no problem walking into the bank looking like you said, they're going to a nightclub or going to the beach, flip-flops and a tube top, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, oh, gosh. I guess we could spend the whole show talking about the problem with our young. And I don't like to rant. I don't want to feel like an old person just ranting. But from what I'm hearing, it's a problem. And yeah, social media is great. The internet is great, and we can communicate better than ever. But it can't take the place of face-to-face communication. And I see these whole families out to dinner, and they're all on their cell phones, and no one's talking to each other. And I just want to walk up to all of them, grab their cell phones, and say, you guys have to have a conversation. What's going on here?
You can have the back of the dinner. You know what, let's get to some of the stuff since, I mean, that's a great, and like you said, that's a great conversation, too, for another show, because we could spend absolutely an entire hour talking about that. But since it's the holidays, let's get mm-hmm. to some information on what your advice on how do we deal with difficult family members on Christmas dinner or that Christmas day or the, you know, the holiday gatherings that we do and that we're supposed to enjoy. What do we do to actually get to enjoy them when we have difficult family members, which I think
most of us... Oh, it's awful, isn't it? I know. I'm a Scrooge at the holidays. I really... it's supposed to be joyous, but I think a lot of people feel like me, and Lisa, you were saying that too, that it's so much, and you feel bogged down. And then on top of that, like you were saying, you have to host. You host the Thanksgiving, you're hosting Christmas. And then you've got some nasty relatives who knows how to push your buttons, and what do you do? And I always say, you know the person's MO. You know what they're going to say. So think of something ahead of time, not something nasty to say, but something that you could say back to them that will throw them off guard and maybe put a smile on their face and get them in a different direction instead of just focusing in on digging and trying to just twist the knife. So what I say is, like, say your crazy Aunt Edna, I always call her crazy Aunt Edna, and she's talking about your weight or that you can't find a decent job or you don't have a man or whatever. And you could just say, well, Aunt Edna, why don't we try to lose weight together? Let's start our own support group or something. So, like, turn it around. Put the emphasis back on that person. Take it away from yourself. And then draw somebody else into the conversation, because it just takes the burden off of you. And then say, oh, Susie, hi, talking about jobs, how's your new job? I know I'm looking for a job, haven't found the right one, but that's okay, I'm real positive about it. How's yours going? So again, you're throwing the focus on somebody else and not like, well, I can't find a job and I'm so upset. That's not what the holidays are about. Don't let this person do that to you because they are their own worst enemy. They've got problems in their own lives and they're taking it out on you. Don't let them.
So, Daria, I think you have a really great story you could share without getting into details about who you're talking about. But
you have one like that, Daria, like an aunt, like a crazy aunt.
she has a crazy aunt, Edna. So how do you get through,
yes.
You know, explain that, Daria, because I think that's a perfect example of what we're talking about.
Yeah, I wish this was actually an aunt. It's actually a closer female relation. I'll just leave it at that. Not my mom.
Okay.
My mom is awesome. My mother is awesome. But, no, yeah, it's a closer female relation. And this person, I'll try to be brief, has had a problem with my decision in the last couple of years after I got laid off on my job, my corporate job, to really, like, strike out on my own and forge a career in social media marketing and freelance writing and all that, all the stuff that I do, which admittedly has been tough, but I've always found my way. I've never asked this person for money. I struggle. I'm still struggling. Things are getting better. But, I mean, I have a lot of great friends, and I have a good support system. My own parents are very supportive. I mean, talk about, you know, the older people are supposed to be, like, not into this new technology and stuff. My parents get what I'm doing, and they understand that a lot of people, even some of the most successful people in the world, went bankrupt or went bankrupt many times before they succeeded. But all of that to say, this Aunt Edna is in a very traditional profession. She's very driven, as I am too, but in a different way. And she's very old school, even though she's not that much older than me, in terms of you have to work at a corporate job or in a profession. You have to have benefits. You've got to do your 40-hour work week. Very, like, set that way. And okay, and that's fine. Like, this is not about it. She's entitled to a totally different opinion. The problem is it's become anger and resentment and refusal to speak to me. And she takes a lot of her feelings about me out on my parents and is very rude to them. And they've gone a few rounds with her a few times. All of this is a setup to say that I will be flying up for Christmas, because I'm not going to stay away from my own parents and other family members that I love and adore at Christmas time just because of this one person. The problem is this one person usually has Christmas dinner at her house. So I told my parents, and they were in total agreement with me beforehand. I said, look, you know, if she says that I'm not welcome, then I'm completely, you know, then I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I said, I'm not going, you know, just so that you know. And my mom's response was, well, if that's the case, then I'm not going either. If you're not welcome, your father and I aren't going. So anyway, that's kind of the setup. And I really at this point don't even know what's going to happen on Christmas Day. But I'm flying up on the 20th. So, yeah, it's kind of a dicey situation because it's a closer relation than an aunt, unfortunately.
Oh, my gosh, Daria. Okay. Oh, she is – this is a classic case to me – that she is completely and utterly jealous of you because you are doing what she wants to do but is afraid to do. I mean, to me, I don't know her, but I really, truly believe that. I mean, don't you honestly in your heart of hearts really think that?
Yes, and you know, Marie, Lisa told me that, and I have a laundry list of people that said the exact same thing that you just said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's really obvious. And so she resents the heck out of you because you're doing what she is afraid to do. And so she is going to just, again, take the knife and twist it to make you feel bad, or try. That's the key word here. Try to make you feel bad and guilty about what you're doing. And Daria, you be proud of what you're doing because you're a success, and she is leading obviously a miserable life because it's so bad that she has to make you feel bad just to elevate herself. So what if you allow her to make you feel bad, she's won. But you're not allowing that. You're not going to succumb to her guilt. And I don't know how the conversation is going to go, but I'm sure she's going to try to corner you and lay into you. Don't allow that. Make sure your parents are with you as a buffer and make sure you're with her with a group. Don't be alone with her, because that's when the claws are going to come out, don't you think?
Oh, they came out last year, because I should have set this up by telling you last year she threatened not to come to my parents' house for Christmas Eve unless I met with her one-on-one. I met her at a diner, and I sat and listened to her tell me for 2 hours how selfish I was and all this kind of stuff. And she would ask me questions like why I moved to Florida in the first place. And, God, it was like almost 20 years ago. And I answered honestly. And she would just roll her eyes. Like, nothing I said, as I sat there and answered her questions, like, met with her approval. And this is a woman who has a very full life. She's a professional. She has a great career. She's very accomplished. She has a husband. She has great kids who are healthy. They're good students. She has a home. She has a cute little dog. I mean, she should be focused on her own life and not, like, you know. And let me just say this really quick, Marie. The thing that really bothers me is what it's doing to my parents. I know that that's out of my control because I can only control my behavior, but I don't like that she's creating this conflict when it's totally unnecessary.
You know what I would – this is what I would do. Don't do that anymore. No one-on-ones with her. And just be – and this is what I say to people. Be professional. And when I say professional, I mean – like how you would treat somebody in the office you just met. That's how you should treat her. Put your wall up. Be distant. You can be polite, but be distant and save your warm and friendly self for the people you really care about, your friends, your family, your parents, other people, other family members. But you be the ice queen with her. I'm serious. She does not deserve your warmth. And I'm telling you, when you foster out like that, which is what you're doing, and she deserves it, then she's going to realize, okay, I can't be like this anymore. And then she'll change her behavior or she won't. She's either in your life and she changes her behavior, or you're just going to say hi and bye and the weather's wonderful and I'll see you. And that's it. And you can do it because you don't have to be one-on-one with her. And you focus on all the other family members. How many people are at this Christmas Day dinner that she hosts? Are there a lot of people?
A lot, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You'll have no trouble. And you got to be that way. I know that's hard because, Daria, you seem like so warm and friendly, but you got to do it. You have to, because otherwise it's going to get worse. It really is. She's not going to let up.
No, she's not. And, I completely get that. So, yeah, and I tell Lisa, you know, I'm a person of faith, and I always, whenever I'm around her, even when I think about her, I imagine, like, a wall of God's protection around me because – because, you know, for a while, and I don't want to belabor this, I'll just say this and we can move on, but there was a period of several months where I could literally, even though I'm long distance, it's like I could literally feel her anger, and it was really starting to scare me. So,
And you talk about this great life she has. Something's wrong. I mean, yeah, on paper it looks great, but she's not happy. If she were really, and you notice the people that are really competent and happy and together, they don't ever put anybody else down. They are just so positive, and those are the people you want to be around. It's the miserable people that are unhappy with their life. They're jealous of everybody else. They're the mean ones. So something's going on with her, and it's some insecurity and unhappiness and, oh, boy. Don't want to be your therapist, but she really does need help. I mean, don't you think? It sounds like she really does need help.
I actually pray for her to resolve her anger. I mean, because it's about all I can do for her, really. So.
Yeah. I feel bad for you, but it's like, you know, it's like everybody has this one person that they have to deal with over the holidays. I mean, I don't really know anybody who goes to these big holiday dinners that there isn't one person that they don't want to be around.
Yeah.
And it's sad, but it's true.
Yeah.
So my advice to Daria was tell her to shut the well up and to mind her own flipping business. And I think I said a few other things. Not a good way to handle it, Murray.
No, you don't want to – look, you don't want to do that because it makes you look defensive, and then they realize they've gotten to you. Because if you show you're upset and you show your emotion, then they realize, oh, yeah, I've got her where I want her. She's upset. I did this to her. I'm so happy. See, that elevates them. So don't allow them to do that to you. And you can't – let them think that you're unhappy. I mean, sure, on the inside you're unhappy and they make you miserable, but you can't let them know that because then they'll never stop.
Okay, good advice. I will.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will. I'll definitely do that. Put that into practice, and I'll let you know what happens.
Sorry. Oh boy. Yeah,
well,
I'll be glad
you.
When January 1st rolls around. I think we all will. I know that's such a Scrooge attitude, but sometimes I feel that way.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's get off subject here about that a little bit. Let's go to. And I see this with my nieces, nephews, and my kids. If you're in a new relationship, and Christmas comes around, what do you do gift wise? What do you buy somebody new? Somebody that you're newly dating?
Well, I would say if you've been dating less than 3 months, just get them something really simple like candy, a plant. Something like that. And then after 3 months, if things are a little more serious, then you can go for, oh, I don't know, jewelry if you're really serious, or some kind of clothing or a really cute Christmas sweater, something like that. But if it's jewelry, it's got to be really, really serious. Because I've seen relationships fail at Christmas time because one person wanted something else, thought that their relationship was more serious, and then she only got something that was very cute, and she was expecting a diamond. So, I mean, keep your expectations low and just try to get through the holidays, and don't pin something on a person. Like, you've got to get me this, and you better, and I need this, and I can't believe he doesn't get me this, I'm breaking up. Just wait till after the holidays. To deal with all this, because there's just so much going on. Leave the expectations behind and try to enjoy the holidays with this person, no matter what stage of a relationship you're in.
Yeah, so because I see now with the kids, I mean the teenagers and things like that, they throw "I love you" out there, you know, before they're even gone. You know, they might not even be old enough to go on a date. You
right,
know,
right.
And they're, "I love you, I love you, I love you." And, you know, luckily they can't afford much, you know, but because they're young.
Right, right. Well, let's ask Kristen. Kristen, do you get your friends presents? And I don't want to ask, I'm not going to ask a personal question like, do you have a boyfriend or not? But, I mean, do you exchange with your friends, or how does that work over the holidays?
Usually it'll just be, like, something little. But, I mean, nobody's really going to go and buy something too big just because, I mean, what's the point? It's just, I mean, it's different maybe for like a birthday or something, but for Christmas, everyone's getting a bunch of gifts anyway, so why would you go and just buy something like really significant just to get it over with in one day? It's just,
Good attitude. You know what? I bet you're going to be really good with your money. You stick with that attitude.
Oh, God.
You're going to be great at saving and investing. All right, Lisa, you did well with her. I like that.
She's a miser. I don't know where she gets it from because her father was a miser, and I'm not really a miser. So, but she got that. She's very good at saving.
Oh, that's so great. Now I need to work on my son because I have an 18-year-old. But he doesn't get anything for anybody. And the thing is, my husband and I, we don't even exchange over the holidays. When we we'll get each other birthday presents, but we don't get anything for each other at Christmas. And sometimes we'll buy a family gift, like if we need some furniture or something, maybe we'll do it around the holidays. But we don't exchange because that's just one more stress.
Yeah.
So we just don't do it.
Yeah, I've gotten to the point, honestly, where I do not exchange with my siblings anymore. We used to buy the kids stuff, but the kids, like the nieces and nephews and things, we used to get them things. But I've even dialed back because everybody's grown now for the most part, you know, and it's not as big of a deal. So I've cut back a lot on who I'm buying gifts for, especially this year. It's so overwhelming, and it takes the whole meaning of Christmas, and it, like, just takes it away. It squashes it,
yeah.
You know?
Right, right. And that's why I say to people, look, if you don't want to exchange with somebody, just call them up like a month before. Right now we're, 3 weeks away? And just say, look, let's not exchange this year. Let's just meet for coffee. I'd rather spend time with you.
Right.
I don't need any more stuff. You don't either. And let's just do that. Let's meet at Starbucks or whatever.
Yeah, and that's
a great idea.
As you get older, too. I mean, you just don't need any more stuff. And trying to think of something to buy someone who has everything, you know, it's just so hard. It's just so hard.
Oh, I know. I know. And it gets to the point where, would you really need any more of anything, really?
Yeah, I mean, seriously, it's like another piece. You know, my husband's like, what do you want for Christmas? And I'm like, you know what? I'd like somebody to come in and really clean the hardwood floor.
I'd like a spa day. Yeah.
You know what else, too, could be inexpensive gifts, too, is people love, I make these Italian wedding cookies, and people love that. And,
yeah.
Like, so even doing something like that and just making, like, a little tray of cookies for somebody, it just
yeah.
is, like, a little thought. Maybe meet them for coffee and bring them something like that if you have the time to do it. I mean, you know.
Right. Right. Do you guys go to the – I'm invited every year to this one cookie exchange. Do you guys know what that is, where you bake cookies and then mm-hmm. everybody bakes them and they bring them to the party and then you take other people's home and it's fun. And this one friend of mine, she invites me every year and it's all the people in her neighborhood and I'm the only one that doesn't live in the neighborhood and I don't really know anybody. But over the years, because I've seen these people year after year, I've started to get to know them, and it's kind of fun. And you know what I do is I have my husband bake the cookies because he likes to do that. I don't. And then I bring them, and I grab other people's cookies, and so I bring them home, and I have a blast. And I feel like, okay, that's my one holiday party of the year, and it's just the women. And I'm like, you know what? That is a tradition that even though I don't talk with my friend as much as I should, I feel like, okay, that I need to make time for because it's fun,
right.
and it doesn't cost that much.
Right, right.
Yeah,
just yeah. Getting together with them and stuff. You know, another thing I think about, one of the most horrible things that has ever happened to me, honestly, and it's happened several times, is somebody that buys you a gift and you don't have a gift for them.
Yes, yes. And what do you do? I know.
Yeah,
but that is, okay, can I just say that has happened to me 2 years in a row. And it's a distant relative, like a brother of a brother-in-law, anyway, kind of, and he's so sweet, and he's young, and it was 2 years ago, I brought him a gift, and he didn't have anything for us, and I'm like, oh, and I felt so bad for him, and he was fine about it, so I realized, okay, we're not exchanging, wonderful, I could cross him off my list. The next year, that was last year, I didn't bring anything for him, and he brought us a gift. Oh, my gosh. So this year, I'm prepared. I am going to put a little gift card in my pocket, and I'm going to leave it there. And if he gives us something, I'm going to hand him the gift card. Otherwise, I'm leaving it in my pocket at Home Depot or something, and I'll spend it or I'll give it to my husband. So that's what I tell people to do. Oh, my gosh. So embarrassing.
It really is embarrassing, and it's happened to me a bunch of times. I've gotten to the point where I'll, like, you know, if it's somebody obviously, you know, over the age of 21, you can get a bottle of wine or a bottle of, you know, whatever they drink or whatever. And you know what, if they don't bring you anything, you just add it to your liquor cabinet, you know, and it's like,
right.
But, you know, but I'll sit there and I'm like, I'll tell one of my kids, okay, go get that green bag sitting there and write, so-and-so's name on it. So it doesn't look like we're doing it last year.
Right.
You know?
Right, yeah, I have extra presents, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's what you suggest people do. It's just like, you know, maybe just have some extra stuff around.
Right. Yeah, it's craziness, all this giving. And I want to put a moratorium on gift giving. What if everybody did that 1 year and we just celebrated Christmas like we do Thanksgiving. We get together and there's no gifts. I know that would send the retailers into a tailspin and probably ruin our economy, so we can't do it. But wouldn't you just love to do that 1 year? Wouldn't that just take the emphasis away from all the stuff?
Yes, I would love that.
I think so, too. One of the things that I thought of was, you know, I grew up, my mom made a huge deal out of Christmas. I mean, Christmas was just, I mean, the house was like a winter wonderland. It was, she decorated and she bought everybody. I mean, seriously, we had a huge family room and you couldn't even get through the family room for all the presents. It was incredible. And so my kids then, of course, you know, growing up, they kind of got used to having quite a few presents too. And the last couple of years, I'm like, you know what? I feel like even though they're older now, it's kind of like I still want them to learn the other side of the coin, you know, the other side of the world that doesn't have the ability to have someone to buy this amount of gifts, to spend this kind of money on Christmas. So I kept thinking, you know, I'd love for us to, you know, go work on Christmas Day or something at a homeless shelter, you know, in the kitchen, you know, working and you know, serving people that don't even get a Christmas dinner usually, let alone gifts, you know.
Right.
And
that's a great idea.
We kind of live in the boonies out here where we live, so it's kind of been a hard thing for me to find out where we would go. But, you know, it's something that I've looked into a couple of years in a row now. I'm just like, something, just to give something back. I don't care. Let's go get coats that we all of us have 100 coats that we don't even use anymore. And, you know, coats that we've, you know, that the kids outgrew or whatever that are just sitting around. I'm like, let's go hand coats out, you know, on the street to the homeless. I don't know, something. I just feel like we need to do something to, you know, just acknowledge the fact that we're really very lucky and blessed, you know?
I know. And that's the attitude that I wish more people would have. And you've conveyed that to Kristen and your other kids. I know that. But there's so many parents that they don't really get that, and they just give. And it's like, okay, what next for these kids? What do they have to aspire to in their lives if they have everything right now? And like we talked about earlier, it's the me generation. We never left the 80s. It just keeps getting worse. And I thought with the whole recession that people would get away from that, but they really haven't. Do you guys feel that way? It really hasn't changed that much.
Yeah.
No, I think it's gotten worse. People, they just whip out the credit cards and just go further and further into debt, too.
Right.
Rather than, like, cut back. Crazy.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of the way it's become. But I feel like I'm kind of doing my part in that I don't make this huge, big deal with Christmas. I take our fake tree with a little bit of tinsel still left from last year, and it's got lights built in, and so we just put it out, and we put our ornaments. And then I look at these other people that have trees on every single floor in their house and every single room, and I think, well, I'm not really doing enough, but I feel like, okay, at least I'm thinking, what can I do to make this sort of different? And like you, I haven't really done enough in that I haven't gone to a homeless shelter, but I have plans every year, but it never happens. But you're right, we got to at least one time do it, actually do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But you know what?
We're so busy trying to just deal with the relatives that when January 1st comes around, you know, so we're all so relieved. It's like, okay, I got through it. Now put everything away and let's get ready for next year.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I know we're getting to the end of the hour, and I want to move on from Christmas a little bit because quickly following Christmas, a week later, we deal with New Year's and New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And I think, you know, I am so torn about resolutions anymore because I wonder if they're really – I mean, okay, we all go out and we spend money on a new gym membership on Christmas Eve, and the gym is a crazy place for the first, you know, until February, and then it's everybody stops, you know, everybody quits.
Yeah.
What, I mean, for me, I've started making resolutions for myself based on things I want to change within myself, not on the outside necessarily, but on the inside, and I don't share them with anyone.
That's great, yeah.
But how do you stay on track with even that? How do we stay on track with our New Year's resolutions?
I like that you don't share it, because then if somebody calls you out, well, you didn't do this, or I thought you said you were going to whatever. And you,
yeah.
So you only are accountable to yourself.
Right, and that's the whole thing. Like, I decide... Just, you know, putting something out there that's silly, but okay, I'm going to be nicer to people this year. Okay, nicer. I mean, obviously, wouldn't say nicer. I would be more specific about how I wanted to be nicer. But then somebody would be like, your New Year's resolution, you were going to be nicer, and you're not being very nice, you know? And then you're like, oh, great. Now you're throwing it in my face. So I don't share them. I might share them with my journal, but I certainly don't share them with my family or anything.
Yeah, and I don't really, you know what, I don't like New Year's resolutions because I feel like we need to have resolutions all the time.
Right.
But so that's the key with you. I just, if you don't get it in the first month, if you don't realize your goal or accomplish what you wanted to do, it's okay. There's February, there's March. Just keep it in your head all year round and don't put the stress on yourself. Okay, I got to accomplish it by this and this date. Don't do that to yourself. Just keep it in your head all year round and work little by little baby steps towards it. That's my take on it. But that's great that you've got one because I've just given up.
I've gotten to that point because I was like, okay, I'm going to lose 10 pounds by February. And then, you know, the day after New Year's, I'm like eating everything I can find, you know. And that's
all the leftovers.
You're eating all the leftovers and going crazy. And I'm just like, okay, this is just not working. So you give up because you're self-sabotaging yourself in a way. And so for me, I kind of feel like I'm not going to do stuff like that's about losing weight and stuff like that. You should keep yourself healthy all year long. I mean, that shouldn't be a New Year's resolution. That should just be important. Now, last New Year's, I said I was going to do things like I hadn't been to the OBGYN in a long time. I was behind on a mammogram. I hadn't had a mammogram in 5 years, and I'm 47, so that was bad. And, you know, so I did make a New Year's resolution. I didn't tell anybody, but I did make a New Year's resolution that I was going to go and get all these appointments done, and I was going to, make these doctor's appointments that I need to make and get these things done. And I did. And I was proud of myself for that. I did accomplish it. And it was the right thing to do. It was obviously the healthy thing to do. So that was something that I did that was more, again, I mean, more inside than anything else because it was about my overall health.
Right, and you kept it to yourself, and you didn't. If you told your husband might be like, well, you said you were going to the OBGYN. You said you were going to go get your mammogram. Why am at you? So nobody was, I'm not saying he's an egg or anything, but yeah, you got it done, and nobody was hounding you about it, but you had it in your head, and you felt like, okay, when you accomplished it, when you finally went there, okay, good, I got this done.
Yeah, it's like, check. I could check it off the list of things to, you know, because it's stuff that, you know, when you know you're 5 years behind on a mammogram, you know it, right? Even if breast cancer is not in your family and it's not something that you hugely worry about all the time, you still, it's there. And so you're always worried, you know, you're always thinking about it. It was nice to just get it done, although I did have an abnormality show up, so I had to go back and have another one. Then I had to have an ultrasound, and now I have to go every 6 months for a mammogram. So in a way, do I wish I would have avoided it? Yeah, because, I mean, there's nothing really wrong. It's just that, you know, I hadn't had one for so long that, you know, there was really nothing to compare it to. So it's been a real pain in the butt. But the honest to God's truth is, I mean, who knows what would have happened if I'd waited another year. You know, or something like that. It was good. I mean, it was important that I did it, and I did it. And my mother-in-law was on me all the time about it, and my husband was, you know, would bring it up every once in a while. You haven't had a mammogram in forever. And then, you know, finally I just did it, and I was like, all right, so everybody can get off my butt about that at least.
Well, it's great that you have family members who really care, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, and that you did that and you feel good about it. And so that's why I feel like don't do it just in New Year's. Oh, have that every month, the beginning of every month. Okay, what do I need to do this month?
Right.
Maybe if I lost 1 pound or if I went to the doctor like you did, or I went to the dentist, or it really could be anything, or I helped my neighbor, or I ran an errand for somebody, and you feel like, okay, I did that, and I feel great. So one time a month, and maybe it all year round, think how great we'd feel by the end of the year.
Yeah, that's true. That's excellent. That's excellent advice.
Now I need to follow it. I don't either.
I have to go to get
my mammogram and all that, too. So.
Yeah, following up on it's the hard thing. Making the plans makes you feel really good until you're, you know, in the middle of it, and all of a sudden you're like, well, I've really accomplished nothing so far, so I got to get working on that. Kristen, I don't know if you have anything you wanted to say, or did we cover everything, or?
No, I think you pretty much covered it.
Yeah, I think so. I think we hit on the important stuff, I think, and it's a difficult time of year. It should be a more joyous, and I think that we all have to kind of keep dialing it back, you know, and while we're in the middle of stress and everything, we need to remember what the holidays are really about.
I think
and
we just
what,
have higher expectations for the holidays, and then we're just disappointed.
Exactly. I mean, even I...
Yeah, Siri, you hit the nail on the head. You really did, yeah. Because I think we all think we're supposed to have this... It's supposed to be like a TV commercial, and it's not. And then we're like, oh, so disappointed. That was a great point.
Yeah. That was my daughter Kristen said that, but she
Kristen, yeah, you said now you're already sounding older. You're 19, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gonna have a great future ahead. My son's 18. I know, and it's like hard. It's a hard transition, and you're working full time almost. Your mom said, and you're going to college. That is so great. You just keep that good head on your shoulders. You're gonna do great in life.
Yeah. I think she's so right, because you do that. Even me, for the one who does all the shopping and all the planning, and I think everybody's going to be so happy, and then there's always something that doesn't fit, or there's always something that I bought the wrong color of, or you know what I mean? And so I sit there, and I'm like, wow, this, and then it's all over so fast. You know, like I've done months of shopping and wrapping and doing all this, and then in an hour, it's all over. You know, and all the Christmas presents are open, and there is that feeling of a little bit of
disappointment.
Yeah.
Right. I know.
Yeah, like
I know. And we all have to get through the holidays with the difficult relatives. And Daria, you keep on keeping on. I think that you're going to do great in your business. I'm really, I really have good thoughts. And don't let your crazy relative ruin it for you. Cause obviously, how long have you been doing this? You said a year now?
I started like 5 years ago with social media when I published my own book. So, and yeah, it's actually 5 years, because 5 years ago this month I lost my corporate job.
Okay,
layoff,
it's been five.
So.
You see, you've made it this long. Yeah, you're never. I mean, you're home free now.
Thank you. Yeah, and you know, a book that I ghost wrote. We just published it about a couple of weeks ago, and I'm in the process of finishing up another one. So, I mean, there's a lot going on, and it's just sad that this person can't even like take the time to look at the things that I've accomplished, but that's on her. I mean, I don't take it personally. I just pray that her anger issues, that she's able to resolve them.
Right.
She can't, her life.
Yeah. She can't share your joy. Right.
If you have any kind of an issue with this person that you don't get invited to her house for dinner, you come to my house and bring your parents.
That's right. You guys are from the same town, right? Really close.
Yeah, we're not far at all. And you just bring them over, and we'll have dinner with them. They can have dinner with us.
Thank you, sweetie. I may be taking you up on that, Lisa. Just to let you know.
That's fine. I'd be thrilled.
Good luck here.
Lisa, yes. Lisa, you are so calm. How many people are you having at your house?
It depends. I never know really till like the day before, but it'll probably be somewhere around 8 to 10. Depends.
Oh, that's not too bad, but
nice.
it's still a lot going on.
The family's pretty small. My husband's family. It's going to be. I don't know if his sister's coming. His brother will be here. He's living with us while he's recovering from his liver surgery, his liver transplant. So he'll be here. His mom will be here. I don't know if she's bringing someone. So there are all these variables, and then I never know, like my brother, if he's working or not working. My dad lives in Florida, so I know he won't be here. So it's just like, but you know, there are all these variables that you're never really sure on a head count. I just went online and I ordered a bunch of like Christmas paper plates and plastic forks and knives and spoons. And I'm like, you know what? That's what we're doing. I have no idea how many people are coming, so up to 16 can come because I ordered 2 sets.
Good for you. Don't mess with the china and having to do the dishes.
Yeah.
Forget it.
I
love your attitude, yeah. And the fact that your brother-in-law's healthy, I mean, that's all that really matters. I mean, really,
yeah.
We get so caught up in the little nitty-picky little things. But really, your health. And, yeah, that's the way I look at it. Because those are the only real problems in our lives is, I mean, everything else we can deal with, but it's the health problems that I think get to a lot of people.
Yep.
I have to say,
Lisa makes a fabulous lasagna.
Try to get over there. Hope that crazy BI won't invite you and you can get over to Lisa's house.
I'm not going to be having lasagna for Christmas. It'll probably be, my kids usually make, they love this pineapple stuffing that I make. So, yeah, and I tell them I only make it if we're having, I'm only making it if we're having ham. So we're probably going to have ham, but sometimes we do prime rib or something. So I don't know. We're going to still have to hash that one out.
Okay.
It'll be good.
One last question for Kristen. What do you want to do with your degree? Kristen, do you know yet? You're in your second year, so you've got time.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just liberal arts right now, so I'm hoping this bright idea will come to me soon, but I'm still waiting. So I guess I'll find out one day when I just magically make a decision. And
yeah, I keep expecting her to come home from classes one day and have a light bulb literally hanging over her head. Like she's, you know, so all of a sudden, boom, she knows what she's going to do with herself.
Do business finance. I think you'd be great because you got a good head. Sounds like you have a good head for money.
Yeah, she does. She has a great.
Yeah.
She's very creative too. She's very good at writing and music and you know. So she's got this creative edge to her too. Painting and drawing and everything. She's good at everything she does.
This is not true.
This is true.
Yeah. She'll do well. She'll do well. And I hope that my son does too. You know, you get a little nervous, but they always come through. So, somehow.
It's a nerve-wracking time, no doubt.
Yeah, it really is. Really is, yeah.
Well, it's been a great show. Derry, did you have any other questions for Marie?
No, but Marie, I just wanted to thank you so much for your advice and just for your presence here on our show tonight. It was wonderful to talk to you. And I hope we get to talk to you again in the future.
Oh, I would love to come back. You guys have a great show, and you said this is your second show. You're off to an outstanding start, and I wish you all the best. And I will keep up with you guys.
Thank
and
you.
We need more women radio shows, so you keep
Marie,
it up.
We will. Marie, listen, let everybody know where they can find you online, too, before you
oh,
leave.
Oh, yeah, it's youtube.com/MarieDubuque. And if
Excellent.
You just type in the search words Marie D-U, everything will come up. So.
All right. That's great because, I did spend some time watching your YouTube videos, and you have some great advice out there. So everybody definitely check that out. And, again, thank you so much for being on the show, Marie. It was very enlightening, and you gave us some great advice going forward to be able to get through the next month.
Yeah, we all need help. You guys, it was a blast. I really feel like we connected over this hour. And well, you guys will be in my thoughts when we're at Christmas dinner dealing with our crazy, crazy relatives.
You too.
Bye, you
thoughts.
Guys.
Take
Thanks
care.
Again.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That was fun. That was some very good advice and a lot of fun. I enjoyed having her on the show. Everybody, you've been listening to Marie Dubuque, and you can look her up. Her last name is spelled D-E-B-U-Q-U-E. You can look her up on YouTube, and she's got lots of great videos out there and lots of great advice. So everyone, feel free to do that at youtube.com/MarieDubuque. Daria, any last words?
No, she was wonderful. I just want to let everybody, I really enjoyed the show and let everybody know to tune into your show, Just Believe. I know you've got a great guest coming up this Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern, so please put a plug in real quick for that.
Oh, yeah. Just Believe is going to be on 7 o'clock. It's every Sunday at 7 p.m. And this week we're going to be talking about our life soul purpose. So, you know, so many of my clients come to me and they're like, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? What's my soul purpose? What am I here for? Why am I here? And we're going to actually be delving into exactly why it is that that people are here and what their goals are and what they're supposed to be accomplishing and ways to figure that out. So it's going to be really good. And then my show is on Sunday, and then that Military Monday is Monday at 1 with John D. Gresham. And then, of course, Daria, your show on Tuesday at 1, RightStream Tuesday. Who are you having on?
I have an author by the name of Ronan Cray coming on, and he writes thrillers and kind of futuristic novels, so I'm looking forward to that. And then, Lisa, I didn't even get a chance to tell you this before we went live, and Kristen, you would like her too. Dawn from A Taste of Dawn will be my guest the following Tuesday, and I'd love to get her on our show on Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss sometime in the future.
I remember we talked about her. Yeah, we talked about her. She's actually got a fantastic website, and she's doing all kinds of stuff. I'm going to be fascinated to hear that interview, too.
Yeah, she's inspiring. I mean, talk about people that are like a role model. I mean, because she started her business from scratch. She is, I know she's a mom. I believe she's a single mom. She lives in L.A., and she has really just carved out a great niche for herself. So I can't wait to talk to her, and that'll be a week from this coming Tuesday. So lots of good things coming up. And then, of course, Family Power Hour will be I should mention this, too. I'm actually going to be their guest this coming Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. That show also, in addition to focusing on family and parenting issues and spousal issues, they're very focused on the South Florida area. So their guests tend to be local. And being that I've lived down here for so long and I'm a quote-unquote local author, they've invited me to be their guest on Wednesday night to talk about my book and my social media efforts and all that good stuff. So I'm also looking forward to that.
All right, great, great. I think we've pretty much wrapped everything up for this week. And, again, Everyone catch us on Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss next week at 7 p.m., same time, same place. Be here. And or be square. Sorry.
That's right.
Kristen's looking at me like, oh, my God, you are so
retarded.
She's rolling
her eyes, Lisa. I can't see.
Yeah, she's like, she's just like, she just drops her head. She's just like, oh, Mom, really? So, anyway.
Yes, everyone. I can't wait to meet you, too, by the way.
Yeah.
I wanted to meet you.
When Jerry was over before, you weren't home. You were
working.
Yeah. So.
Next time. Maybe Christmas.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
I may have a refugee from New York Square.
Exactly. So next week we have, I forget. Chris and I just talked about it. What was that going to be? Well, I don't remember. Everybody watch the Facebook page for Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. I think it's Kara Hawkins or something like that, I think is her name.
Kara Hawkins, yeah.
And we're going to have her on next week, and we will, I can't remember anything anymore without notes. Old age setting in. Anyway, that'll be next week's show on Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. But check out the Facebook page and like the Facebook page. It's facebook.com/loveliberty and lip gloss, I think. Spelled out like that, but if you just do a search on Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, you'll find us. And of course, check out our rightstreamradio.com webpage to learn about all our fantastic shows on the Rightstream Network and all of our talented hosts. And I think that's it, right?
I think that's it. Everybody have a great weekend, and thanks for joining us. And thank you, ladies. It's always a pleasure co-hosting with you.
Thank you. Thank you, Daria.
Thank you.
Talk to everybody next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.